to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains here. This is the place, again, where the conversation is pointed, the guests are super sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today is Natalie Brown Bennett, hidden in the back pages of a great collection of stories and testimonials. Delayed but Not Denied is where I found her. She is one of the winners in the Booksellers Challenge. I saw so many authors out there really struggling to position their book, to get people to find a level of interest, to move it and to make some money. And so I got this great book, Delayed but Not Denied. It's a compilation of several great stories, but this one was the last story, and I found it fantastic. Natalie is the mother of three, and she has had three marriages, one to an Irishman, two to the son of a Senegalese religious leader, and three to a Nigerian where she barely escaped with her life. So I want her to come online, and I want her to be able to tell her story and share all of this information with you, get you excited so that you can run out and get the book. Good morning, Natalie. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to have you here on the edge with me, as I am with all my guests. I just get so excited when I hear you guys' voice. So, again, can you start and tell our brains a little bit about your story, who you are, and how you ended up with three different marriages to three very different individuals and three very different cultural experiences?
Yes, yes. I feel like I have lived three separate lives in this one body. Well, like I said, I am 50 years young. I have three girls from the third husband. They're 13, 11, and one will be 10 tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Yes, I will. Well, you know, I grew up kind of different. I grew up very into art and fashion, and I went to all girls Catholic schools, and I wasn't your typical African American. I just kind of did my thing. And my first husband was Irish American. I still have never dated an African American man. Mm. And it was interesting because we were just alike. You know, I grew up eating all kinds of foods from all different cultures, going to the symphony, just like any other American. And him
right.
and I had just about everything in common. And but we got together too young. We met when I was about 18. We divorced when I was 28. And by then we had grown apart, but we were best friends and kind of did everything together and just eventually grew apart. I ended up meeting a Senegalese. I was actually out on the 4th of July at a deli buying something, and this tall, gorgeous, dark man approached me and asked me, "Oh, have you ever been to a Senegalese event?" And I told him, "No, you know, whatever." And I couldn't believe how attractive he was. And we ended up getting to know each other. I ended up getting married to him. Unbeknownst to me, his father was the religious leader of the country. And
wow.
He was the imam. And he didn't share any of that with me until really we had been married 2 years when I went to Senegal and realized his father had seven wives. Yeah, he left that part out. Conveniently left that part out. And
he didn't think that a sister from America was going to be down with all that.
No. Right. Not at all. I mean, it was an amazing experience, though. It was my first time really experiencing true culture. Just, I mean, it was incredible. Just,
you were
you know,
telling
I can't
me
even
also, you know, how when you were married to your first husband, though, you know, you had an issue with body image, And I thought that that would be something very interesting to share with my brains as well, because as a culture, you know, black women, we are more prone to, and I, you know, I'm generalizing, I'm not stereotyping, but we're more prone to eating disorders on the opposite side,
yes,
where we really eat a lot. And you experienced, you know, the effects of an eating disorder, but on the starvation side. Can you share a little
right
bit about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I struggled with anorexia, bulimia, I'd have to say most of my life. It wasn't until the last, I would say, 4 years that I really consistently got a grip. Well, it was because I then began to love myself. Before,
right,
and it all draws in together. Like I said, I was in the fashion industry, and I was assistant director to a fashion designer, and we used to make the clothes on me. And I was in a thong most of the time. So he would say, oh, you're about 16th of an inch bigger. It must be that time of the month or whatever. So I couldn't sit on the toilet without doing leg lifts or crunches or something. I was pretty obsessed with being as thin as I could. Like I was telling you at one point, my first wedding, I didn't even taste my wedding cake. I was like, I'm not eating that. You know, I mean, it was that it ruled my life. It ruled my life. I couldn't go anywhere with my husband or with friends without factoring in time to get rid of the food I was going to eat. Or, you know, because it got to a point where people were noticing. I remember my grandparents were noticing, you're not eating. Or I would go somewhere and I would eat so much and they're like, you're so skinny. How do you stay that way? Well, unbeknownst to them, I was getting rid of everything.
Wow.
So when you moved to Africa,
I'm sorry, when you moved to Senegal, did you still experience some of those same traits? You know, because they'll watch you. They say, girl, you're not eating enough. They watch you.
Yes. Well, you know what? I actually got away with it even easier in Senegal because you sit all together and
right,
you sit around a big platter and you eat. I could eat maybe two bites, and as long as they saw me eating, I was cool. So,
right.
You know,
right,
and
right.
It was still all about how I looked, you know, and that is also why I'm so all about beauty starting from the inside first now is a wellness
Absolutely.
Motivation strategist. That's what I teach people. Beauty, you gotta love yourself from within first.
Right,
you know,
it's an inside
I
job.
Spent my
so
life
when you married
in
husband
a career,
number three, you
mm-hmm.
moved to Nigeria. Did you
yes.
move? You moved to Nigeria, right? And you were also telling me how you really helped start a cosmetic line and worked
yes,
with some
yes.
sisters there. Can you share that with my brains?
Yes, yes. I ended up leaving the Senegalese situation because I could no longer tolerate the polygamy, and I ended up meeting a Nigerian, and they ended up deporting him. So
wow.
I figured, well, I've been to Africa, so let me go there. And they are the most fashionable people on the planet, to tell you the truth. So I thought, okay, well, let me go. So I took my 18-month-old and my 6-month-old that I had here and sold everything and followed him there. Luckily, I ended up meeting two wealthy Nigerian women who they had gone to school, one was a doctor and one was a lawyer, but they weren't practicing and they wanted to start a business in makeup, in fashion. So I had been in the industry for forever, so I just took what I knew from here in the States and implemented it there, and we started a huge cosmetic line. And within a year, we had Face of Sleek, and you know, we had the red carpet event. I ended up actually starting Sleek Models, and I had our own models. So I wanted to do it one-stop shop where, you know, they would hire our models and we'd provide the makeup and the hair and everything, and we did quite well. But my husband,
yeah, Nigerians are very fashionable. They love to
oh,
get
my
their
goodness.
Look on. Yes, they
oh,
do.
My
and
goodness.
They will spend a pretty
Even
penny,
if they're
and they smell really
oranges
good.
Oranges on a platter on their heads in the market. They've got lashes and eyebrows
yeah.
and everything
all
done,
that.
Done, ready to go. Yes, Yes.
But you said your experience and your success caused problems in your marriage. How so?
Very much so. Because culturally, the men are the breadwinners there. Well, at least the time that I was there. I was there from 2006 to 2011. And my husband was very jealous and controlling. And he ended up becoming very emotionally, physically, psychologically abusive. And in the meantime, I got pregnant again with my third daughter there. So she was born in Nigeria. So, yeah. But,
and so you were saying that, you know, there's a part in the book where you say that, you know, you were beaten so bad that the only part that was not bruised was your belly, and that's where you protected it with your hands.
Yes, yes. When I had my daughter, I had belt marks all over my body. I had a belt that had little circles in it, and the marks were all over me because he had had one of his crazy episodes and attacked me, and I had covered my belly, and it was everywhere on me except my tummy. But when I had my child, the doctors didn't even inquire about it. They didn't ask what happened. You know, they because, you know, it's almost as if I'm property. So they didn't ask. And after 5 years of being there, it was time to leave. So I brought my girls home, escaped out of there with my babies, and I'm here doing it at home.
So now, did he come to the United States with you? Because you said that he was deported.
He was deported, but he had been here for 26 years.
Mm.
He had been here for 26 years. I had no idea he didn't. This happened back in 2006 when Bush was rounding people up because a law was going to pass that if they had been here 5 years or more, they couldn't be deported. So he was catching as many people of color, Mexican,
right,
you know, all kinds of people, and shipping them home before that law could pass, and he got caught up in that. But he had been here for 26 years. Yeah.
So now, after going through these three stages with these three individuals, life transformation, you're a beautiful woman, you're a smart woman, and a mother of three, what has all this done for you, and how has this prepared you to coach and mentor other women?
Well, I truly believe it's all about loving yourself. It's all about standing in your own power. It's all about really believing in your own abilities, and that's something that I never had in the past. I would get people to respond to me based on my physical appearance because that was the world that I was living in. But now that I have reinvented myself and gotten to know myself and truly care about who I am, you know, I see the world completely differently. And I also instill that in my girls to really truly love themselves, you know, and just believe that they can achieve anything they want in this world with hard work and just do it. And
also recognize the warning signs, you know. So many people are, I don't know, they get caught up in the mix, you know. Oh, I'm married, I'm a black woman and I'm married to a white guy, or I'm married to this culture or that culture. But we are all the same at the cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
And you
absolutely
know, and so we need to be able to have that conversation openly about race, about culture, about who we are, about our values, teaching our children that it's okay to speak with good diction. You don't have to speak with slang and looking all crazy to, you know, like different color, coloring your hair, like different types of music. All of that adds value
to an
individual. It makes you more well-rounded.
Yes.
But, you know,
yes,
we get in these little slits and these slots that we can't see anything beyond what we see in the mirror. And that's really disheartening. And it does us a disservice.
Yes, it is.
We're not allowed to grow and expand. With your growing and expanding, I could really see this being a great feature film or even filling the pages of a book all by yourself. Have you ever thought about writing your whole history and your biography and, you know, putting it in print?
Absolutely. This is something that I really aspire to do, and I have been for a very long time. Definitely.
Yeah, I can see, you know, just the different costumes that you would be wearing, replicating the beautiful scenery that you've seen, the different dialects, the different foods. I could really see you doing that. I close my eyes and I can envision all of that. Please, Brains,
yes,
go out and pick up this great compilation, Delayed But Not Denied. And this is in volume number 2. Now, this is a collection of stories from wonderful authors, and everyone has their part. But Natalie's is towards the end, but it is the beginning of a great story, a great tale. Like I said, I could see this being a play or a featured film. Is there anything that you'd like to share with our Brains? Also share with us how we can get a copy of Delayed But Not Denied, Volume 2, so that they can read the story themselves.
Okay, yes. Well, you can go to DelayedButNotDenied.com, or you can also reach me at Natalie, NATALIEB3CHI@gmail.com. And I just really want to share and spread the message for people just to be themselves, be authentically themselves, and don't worry about what other people think. Just
do you.
I mean, and you never know. Don't set limitations on yourself. You never know what life is going to bring, because who knew I would be going from a punk rocker to sitting with diplomats in Africa dressed in traditional.
Right.
I mean, I look back on my life and I think, my God, who knew?
I know.
So just to be open and live your life.
And be thankful for everything that you have. Even your bad experiences,
Absolutely.
Brains, are going to be things that are going to turn you into the person that you were meant to be. It's a part of the process.
Absolutely.
But don't get tricked up in the process. Know when enough is enough, and know when to be able to hold, and when to fold, and when to step out. Thank you so much for stepping onto the edge and sharing your story with us today, Natalie. I think that you're great. I'm looking for great things from you. And please come back to the edge, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, Brains, be good to yourself if you can't be good to nobody else. Have a good day.
You've been trying for half an hour to get your little bundle of joy to be a bundle of sleep, but so far nothing's worked. You tried the Binky, you tried the Blanky, you even made Mr. Fluffy do the Fluffy Wuffy dance. Alas, your tiny miracle has a very large pair of lungs, but you have an Amazon Echo, so you call for backup.
Alexa, call Mom.
Calling Mom.
And just like that, Grandma to the rescue.
Hi, baby. Grandma's here.
Alexa, thanks.
Anytime.
So you're stuffing a raw chicken full of lemon and tarragon, and you're sweating because A, you can fit a lot of lemon and tarragon inside a chicken, and B, your date is arriving soon and you still haven't opened wine or put on music or set the mood, but you do have an Amazon Echo, so you say,
Alexa, turn on date night.
Okay.
And just like that, romantic music begins to play, the lights are dimmed, and all you have to do is pour the wine right after you wash your hands thoroughly.
Alexa, you're amazing.
My pleasure.